Okay, what about him?
It's not my decision.
It's not your decision, but it can be in here tonight. Would it help you to give his name? Y'all know who Ted Bundy was? Mass murderer. He's the one who invaded the dormitories at Florida State and took somebody's life there. Okay. What about him? Does that help? Could he go to heaven? He's got an interesting story. When he went to prison, the Church of Christ minister met with him, had a Bible study, and he decided he wanted to follow Jesus, so they baptized him in it's a big bathtub, a whirlpool. And everybody that was around him said he was a changed man after that. And yet when they could get to him, they killed him. One more. And I'm going to give you a name right off the bat. Can she go to heaven? Would somebody like to read?
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and God he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he set out to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in an act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger.
Okay. Kind of a story that we know pretty well, at least we think we do. This is the kind of picture we usually get whenever we study the woman caught in the very act of adultery. That's not real accurate, but the fact was, if they caught somebody in adultery, they took all their clothes and humiliated them publicly before they stoned them. So she's already going through public humiliation when Jesus bends down and writes in the sand. He's got a problem. What's the problem? Your wife's not here defending you tonight. I'm going to take advantage of it too. What's the problem? Well, Don says, if you don't have any connections with the Sanhedrin or with Rome, you can't order somebody's death. But if he doesn't give them death, he's in trouble because the Mosaic law said, stone them to death. Hang on. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. If a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman must be put to death. their blood will be on their own heads. If a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, both of them must be put to death. What they have done is perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man lies with a man, as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own hands. What do you notice? Now I'm caught up to you, Chuck. It just took me a while. Man and woman, when they're in adultery, and both aren't there. They bring the woman, and the man's off. Paul.
It's not without meaning that in every one of those verses, the description, the man is mentioned first.
Mm-hmm.
He's mentioned first because he's the one in authority. He's the one in control. And yet, the bottom line is, both must be put to death.
Yeah. Both must be put to death. It even goes as far as if they're into bestiality, that you must kill the man and the animal. This kind of straight up stuff that's rough. So far, so good. If they thought they could stone her, they would get a pile of stones there because they didn't want to throw all their stones before she was dead. So they would get a little pile of stones and station themselves afterwards, usually outside the city, and they would throw stones at her. And not the little ones. I've seen a lot of these pictures. That's close. Softball-sized rocks is what they threw at her. So they come to Jesus and said, you don't want to offend Rome, do you? So are you going to keep Moses' law or not? Now, whenever he says, are you going to keep Moses' law or not? Somebody tell me about Moses when he was young, an impetuous teenager. He killed an Egyptian. You were going to say it, weren't you? I'm sorry. And he ran off because they would take him out of town and stone him. Can she go to heaven? I mean, she's really guilty of sin. You just look at her. She's guilty of the sin. They got her. She can't wiggle out of this one. They caught her in the very act. So she's done. She's cooked. They're going to stone her, and she's going to die. Jesus bent down the second time. Well, first time he stands up from writing in the sand. He stands up and he says, this is important, and we sort of run over it. If any of you was without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Can she go to heaven? He's been down and he's writing again and saying, I would give money to find out what he wrote. There are a lot of guesses. One is that he was writing all the sins of the people down. That's a pretty good guess. It keeps it in context. But he could have written something else down. He could have drawn pictures. I don't know. But I would really like to. Somebody want to read? Jesus is looking at different things than the crowd. You're without your wife, too. I can pick on you. I do use you got to climb over two pews. I can run faster than that. What's Jesus looking at? As he's dealing with this situation, is she guilty of sin?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's also looking at the crowd.
He's looking at the crowd.
And are they guilty of sin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, what sin you want? Okay. You don't treat your preacher right. We'll put that down. We like each other and I rib him all the time, so. If he didn't treat his preacher right, I can look at that sin and say, what an evil guy. Or I can say, there's a guy that needs forgiveness from Jesus. If you look at the sin and not, if you look at the sin, we'll stand chance. Because I don't know about you, but I sin weekly at least. Probably better than that. Sue's laughing, so you know. It's a view. Now, I'm going to say one more thing about you, William. If you stay on him about his sin, what happens? He can't undo it. And is this bad enough to draw a line and say, you can't step over this line into heaven? If you look at the sin, you can get there pretty fast. That's why Jesus always looked at the people. And this is somebody we want to save. And we got to get them to Jesus. So when you get to the woman caught in adultery, there's some things that really were different about Jesus and about the men who brought her, threw her at his feet. One, the Jews weren't interested in upholding the law. How do we know that?
Didn't bring them in.
I'm sorry, William.
They didn't follow the law.
It says they wanted to set a trap.
Yeah. This was a whole trap. Paul.
What he said to them was a trap also. Because if any one of them would have said, I don't have any sin, he would have said, well, why does the high priest go offer sacrifices then?
Yeah. He had them both ways. They didn't see it coming, but he had them both ways. Okay, how can we look at the people and not the sin?
You can look for the good that they do.
Okay, well, go back to William here. How do we, you sin by not treating your preacher good. Okay, what do we do about that? What's the most important thing?
Break his heart.
Break his heart?
Person's heart.
It can break the person's heart, yeah.
Not breaking the person's heart. The person's heart is the most important thing.
Yes. I'm not hearing good. You're right. He's the one I'm after. Because Jesus died for his sins. Died for my sins. So Jesus looked at people and said, let's get as many going to heaven as we can. So far, so good. I've got some that's not as good. Y'all talk to me here and we'll see what we can do.
100%. Those are two completely different things. And the way that can be taken by a person is taken completely different as well. Even though the voice may be very similar to what they're saying, the message that comes across, two very different things.
You're right. Two very different things. What did the older guys leave first?
They're considered the leaders.
Yeah, they're the leaders. Yeah, but they had to whip this thing up. They'd be people in power. So why'd they leave first? They have a lot more sin, so this comes with age, or I'm just messing with you, don't worry. They knew they were sinners. Back to Paul's comment. They, every year of their lives, you roll the sin out. You get the lamb. Lamb is slaughtered. Put hands on goat. Set the goat out. Go carry the sins out of Israel, symbolically. But it doesn't last. And these older guys can say, well, it didn't last a year last time. They knew. Now, the young upstarts can get a little bit narcissistic and say, I don't have that many sins. So if you look, I won't bring you a sinner one more time. He's not someone who loves sin. He's a victim of the enemy. That Satan keeps whispering in his ear. And he can convince you of doing a lot of stuff. There's a real enemy out there. And the way he works on the mind. Okay, can you see how that creates a little bit more mercy? Because we all said we sin. We are all victims of the enemy. Ever been there? I just want you to know I'm an equal opportunity person about people that sin. We had a female, now we have a male. You're doing good.
The idea behind Christianity is we're all trying to help us each other get to where we need to be. And we're all saved by the grace of God. Nothing we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's nothing we've done, you've sinned, I've sinned, you don't have any standing to point at me. I don't have any standing to point at you because we're all in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
We're all saved by grace. The problem you've got there is some of these other people think, well, I'm better than that. No, you're not. Because sin means to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, it's a little bullseye. It doesn't matter whether you just missed it by a couple angstroms or whether you shot the other way. You missed. Sin's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to say, well, I'm better than that other person because I didn't do that. It's sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same. It all counts the same.
The thing that the people who threw her at his feet didn't know is they were just as guilty as she was. And they weren't headed for heaven any more than she was. And that brings me to my subject. They didn't know grace. Because grace says, wife's not here, I see. Grace says, if you sin, which you will, God will take care of it. Now, we don't deserve that, but God takes care of it. Right. Once it's done, it's done. So where do we, how do we, I'll pick on Chuck. He's got that voice I envy.
Covetousness, huh?
I love you anyway, but it's grace. For I was going to say that.
Sorry.
If I realize he's a sinner and I realize that I'm a sinner and we're both saved by the grace of God and it's unconditional, I can't get on his case. He can't get on my case. Now, I'm not talking about deliberately leading a sinful lifestyle. I'm not talking about that. But if you're living a faithful lifestyle, faithful to God, he gives us grace. It's not deserved. It's not that you don't have any sins. It's not that it's not colossal. The woman was caught in the very act, pretty colossal. Mine don't tend to be that colossal. But if you hang on to grace, you have to say, if you sinned, okay. We'll go through this together and we'll get on the other side. Paul.
The precursor to grace in a lot of ways is mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Because God can extend his mercy to people who have not yet accepted his grace. And that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Mercy and grace hold together. Okay. Somebody want to read?
Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you really be offended by anybody in that first group? The sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy. Do any of those, you say, whoa, if I saw somebody doing that.
Well, it's wrong. You recognize it as wrong.
It's wrong.
But if they say, I know it's wrong, and I'm changing, and I want to change. Okay.
Yeah. And when Paul writes the letter, that's what he wants to say. Don't give up people. Don't give up on other people. If grace is there, use the grace of your lifestyle to reach out to them.
You've experienced God's mercy and grace.
Yes.
You should be sharing it and showing it.
Yes. Now, somebody will say, well, why do you have this grace? What can we do if we have this grace thing? Somebody like to read?
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe.
Okay, we're going to let you be Paul for a second or two, William. Oh, yeah. You've been persecuting Christians. What have you been doing? You've been persecuting the church, killing people, going into homes, dragging them out, making them martyrs, setting them on fire while they're still alive.
I didn't think I was doing a good job, but I wanted to go to Damascus.
Yes, you wanted to get... And all of a sudden, Christ comes, and Paul changes. These words are important. I'm going to run out of time.
Basically, who Paul was didn't change. Paul sought to please God.
Uh-huh.
He just thought he was pleasing God. Uh-huh. He didn't understand he was fighting God.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think he ever changed, basically, his desire, his zeal to please God. He just was doing it the wrong way.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Could be. Notice what he says. For I am the least of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of us. All of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
In another place he said, I did this out of ignorance and unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Not just ignorance, but I didn't believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had that opportunity to believe, just like other people had chosen to. Yeah, he was there at Stephen's stoning. If you remember. Yes. But notice, I am what I am by the grace of God. I haven't pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I haven't just got an energy drink and kept on going. It's when you realize what grace is that you're free to do. Okay, one more time, Don. You'll bring her next time. You want to be the good guy or the bad guy? Good guy. Good guy's got grace. What's he like? Don, the bad guy. So this is your chance. I invite you to take your shots. Just hope you don't have any stones in your pocket. Don, if he's living by grace, this talks about a lifestyle that was very dedicated, and it could all be contributed just to the grace of God. Yes. So when we know that, or I can talk about Sue. This is safe until I get in the car with her. Did you see what Chuck White did? Did you see him over there? Chuck White. Do you believe Chuck White? No, I don't have anything on Chuck White. So if you were hoping, you're disappointed. Mm-hmm. Very good. Paul.
One of the
grace is the cleansed or clear conscience. Paul said, my conscience is clear. That doesn't mean I'm innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dichotomy. How can you be guilty and your conscience is okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the grace that we have a hard time getting to.
Yeah.
Because we always remember what we did. We know we've been forgiven, but it's stuck there, and God says, no, I'm telling you, let go of it.
Yeah.
I understand you're not innocent, but your conscience is supposed to be clean, clear.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Okay, y'all getting this grace thing? Some of you, yeah. Some of you, no. When Jesus came, he did not intend to set up a standard by which you could look at each other and I could say, Sue, do you know what Sue does? And I'd come up with a story about her. Y'all can probably quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, why did he send him?
Anyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
So anyone who believes.
Yeah, but he came so we wouldn't be condemned. And to get to the point we're not condemning each other, it takes for us to get a grasp on this thing called grace. I'm having trouble reading. Some people have got it and they're sort of just sitting back taking it easy, and some people haven't got it and it's pretty obvious. When Christians get this right, we just go on and live our lives. We won't be perfect. We won't have an unknown sin that we committed back yonder and forgot about, or one that we can pull up and put on our shoulders. Grace takes care of that. It's part of your faith. Mm-hmm. That's why Christianity is so great. Everybody else has got to be good to a certain point and reach a certain point of level if they're ever going to go to the place promised. Christianity is different. Our God came down to be with us, made the sacrifice for us, and says, you want to go? You can go.
And our faith is, do we believe he can raise us from the dead?
Yes, it does. Our faith is, can he raise us from the dead? That's important. How do you get there? If we have been forgetting about grace, which is what this lesson's about, we sometimes forget that grace is the reason we have been accepted as children. If we forget grace, we're in a heap of trouble. If we accept grace, we will become family, because we're all striving for the same thing with the same goals and with the same values. Okay, I got some faces now. So Don and I, we're in this thing together. We're saved by his grace. We're going to love on each other and say, glad to have you, brother. Right. How did Jesus stay around sinners and tax collectors? He's called the friend of sinners and tax collectors in Matthew 11. How did he do that? He didn't look at the sin. He looked at the person. And he knew if he could get together with the person, there'd be some people who believed and would be turned from the way they were going. We can't look at the sin. We look at the person. Now, this is hard because there are some people out there who are claiming to be Christians who, if they find something out about you, look out. Or they'll get up and preach on, you can't do this. That's not grace. That's merited salvation. And none of us can do merited salvation. Questions, comments? Next week, I'm going to be going through Romans 5, 6, and part of 7. So if you want to get a jump on this class, I knew we couldn't do it tonight after I timed this. If you want to get a jump on that, go home and read chapters 5, 6, and 7. Romans. And we will look at how Paul described grace. I'm done now. Thanks for letting me pick on you.